quite a bit different. I don't think we've done this before. So what we've talked about this before. We've talked about before that Matthew 5, 6, and 7, called the Sermon on the Mount, is actually a sermon, right? This is what we have is the notes that were made while Jesus was teaching, while Jesus was preaching. So what we have is over the, it's kind of been broken up by the coronavirus, as you guys know, because we started this in the new year. So we started this in January, February, and then we were into chapter 7 in March, and then we had quite a long break, and we've resumed it again. So the flow's been interrupted, but what we have is actually three chapters that make one sermon, and the passage we have today is actually what we would call the takeaways. So today what we have is the takeaways of this amazing sermon. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear this amazing sermon, but you're not going to hear it from me. Gloria and Jordan are going to read the Sermon on the Mount for us, and then I will join them up here. Well, I guess they'll sit back down, and we will do our takeaway section. That's what we're doing today, because this passage is just one of those great passages that we as people should get, okay? So that's what we're going to do. Gloria, I will pray for us. Gloria and Jordan, if you guys want to come up here, you can grab your stools and your mic, and then I will pray. I want to add that what I hope you guys are doing while they're reading is it will be on the screen, so please follow along. But also as it goes through, pause, slow down and reflect on the sections that apply to you. We talked about this in January. You cannot go through the Sermon on the Mount and not like go like, oh, that's uncomfortably close. You can't go through the Sermon on the Mount and think, oh, yeah, that applies to me. What Jesus is saying here certainly applies to me. And so there's those sections that you're going to hit that just stop and reflect and think about. And then when we get to the takeaways, hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit. Okay, so let's pray. And then we will get started. Father God in heaven, you are amazing. So much of what we sang about, a creator God who is holy, just, perfect, knowing that we wouldn't be, knowing that one of the most foolish things we could do is shake our fist at you and be rebellious. And yet that's what we choose to do. And you being the gracious, loving, merciful God, reach down to us and reconcile us to yourself. Thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this particular passage that we have today, these three chapters that Jordan and Gloria are going to read, Father. The depth of them. If we did nothing more today but gathered and read these words, it would not be a time misspent. It would be time well worth our time. I pray, Father, that in our hearts we would not get distracted. I pray that we would, in our heads, read along and pause and reflect. I pray, Father, that you'd send your Holy Spirit among your people, that you would convict us of areas where we are fooling ourselves. Thank you, God. In your name, amen.
Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accusers hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell.
It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord that you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, but they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Please join me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. But I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by the Father who is in heaven. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jordan and Gloria. So, that gets us to our takeaways. Let's reread the passage that we have for today. Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell and great was the fall of it. So what Jesus is doing in this section is he actually is giving us a metaphor. He wants us to see these two houses as being similar. These two houses on outward appearance look the same. They have the same structure. They have the same upkeep. They have the same finishing. The yards are the same. On first glance, these two houses look the same. There is no difference that you can tell from these houses. If we're to tease this out further, the story is about two men, and the house symbolizes their religious life, okay? Men who attend the same church, send their kids to the same private school, attend the same Bible study, Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m., reading Romans together, starting in September. They're the same. On outward appearance, they look exactly the same. This is the two men. It's a metaphor for their religious lives. And so we are asked, or they are asked, what is your house built on? And the study school answer is Jesus, because that's the answer that we give when we're stuck for an answer in Sunday school, is Jesus. But that's not quite the answer here. That's what's so amazing about this passage, is that it can... Actually, if we back up a little bit, that's what's, in my mind, for me at least, that's what's amazing about the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it and you can get something from the surface, but if you actually slow down and look at it, you see this, oh yeah, that makes more sense. And that's what we have here, is if we nuance it out, hopefully it will make a little more sense or it'll go to a deeper meaning. So let's look again at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock through obedience. Jesus is not the focus of this short passage. The focus of this short passage is what two people do with everything we've heard. Everything that Jordan and Gloria read for us. This is about two people and their different responses. Okay? Their different response to what they've heard. That's exactly what verse 24 is saying. everyone then who hears these words, all of those words, and does them will be like a wise man. So the most natural conclusion from that is that we need to be even more obedient. We need to pull up our collective socks and try harder, right? And although that looks like the obvious conclusion, if that's our position after hearing all this, then we are building our house on the sandy land. We're completely and utterly missing the point if we read the Sermon on the Mount and think, I really need to get my act together. I really need to be more disciplined in my time. I need to be more faithful in doing, I need to get my anger under control. I need to do this. If our takeaway is a list of things that we have to do better, we're building our house on the sandy land. We're missing what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The word for foolish here is moro, M-O-R-O, and it's actually where we get our word moron from. So it's strong language. This is anyone who doesn't do what Jesus says is a moron, in essence. Okay? So the challenge becomes, Jesus isn't what we're supposed to be building our house on, or which we are, but that's not what he's getting at here. And if it's not try harder, then what is it? And this is hopefully what we've been getting at week after week as we've been going through this series. All the way back to the first part of Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember the first week when we did this? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? Blessed are those who are so aware that they have nothing that they're bringing to the table. They're the blessed ones. Blessed are the meek. It goes over and over when we read the Beatitudes, when we go through all these things, we realize how completely helpless we are. When it says that our righteousness, Peter talked about this last week excellently, when it talks about our righteousness exceeding the Pharisees, how can we do that if we're trying harder? We can't. Our righteousness exceeds the Pharisees because it's not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. That's the teaching that we have to build our house upon. Anything else is sandy land. The wise person, the person who's building their house upon the rock, is the one who understands their desperate, desperate need. They're the one who understands the greatness of who God is. They're the ones who understand that they can never measure up to the Pharisees even, let alone the passage, the verse that says that be perfect because your God is perfect. If you left here today and you decided, from this point forward, I'm going to be perfect. The rest of my days shall be lived in perfection. How long will you make it to? Would you make it to lunch, Gloria says. Well, that for me would be ambitious. Right? Because as soon as something happens, I don't want to out Jordan because I really am. I'm getting to know Jordan and Alex better, and I really like them. But I was thinking about that when he said the thing about the hand sanitizer. That's the great thing about being married a long time. The person knows what you mean by that. When he said, like, you know, be aware that your kids might steal the hand sanitizer or take the hand sanitizer, he said, I'm sitting there thinking, any of us who have kids, we would be happy if the only thing they did was grab a bottle of hand sanitizer and take it to the car, right? That's spoken like someone who didn't have kids. I'm off track. That's the perfection. We cannot live to that perfection. The wise man gets, sorry if I embarrassed you, the wise man gets that we have no hope. The wise man gets that they're completely and utterly lost if God doesn't intervene on their behalf. Because on their best day, they attend church and they can keep their perfection up to lunch. On their best day, on our best day, on my best day, I can't even make it that far. I skip breakfast just so I can hope to make it to lunch. The wise person is aware that they desperately need God. They know that left to their own devices, they're in endless, continuous rebellion. And so for their righteousness to exceed the Pharisees, like Peter said last week, it has to be infused into them. Their righteousness is from somewhere else. It's never from themselves. That's building your house. That's the takeaway from the Sermon on the Mount. That it's not that it's through your efforts. None of these passages, none of these, I don't even know how many we've done, over 20 we've broken this series into. None of them spoke to trying harder. All of them spoke to our great need. And that's our takeaway, is our great need. And then how do we respond to that? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, you are holy, you are perfect, you are just, and we're not. Father, I pray for all of us here. I pray that every single person would understand this great cavern that lies between you and us. I pray, Father, that none of us would be so deluded, so foolish to think that we can somehow cobble together our own standing to curry your favor. Father God, please be merciful on us. Open our eyes to see you as you really are, as much as we can take in. And then, Father, have the mercy upon us that we would see ourselves as we really are. That we fall so short of your standard, even when we're trying. And that doesn't even take into account the numerous times over the course of a week where we shake our puny little fist at you and want our own way. Where we try to quickly sit on the throne of our heart. Have mercy on us, Father. Father, along those lines, we're grateful. You sent your son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died in our place. Thank you, God. Without that, we would have no hope of being reconciled to you. But we thank you that you've taken the initiative, that you've called us to be your own, that you've called us sons and daughters. Amazing, Father. Children of the King. I pray, Father, for everyone who is here, that if they're wrestling with doubt, if they're wrestling with disbelief, if they're still trying to make it on their own, Father, in your great mercy, reach down. If anyone is here, Father, please let them not leave here today before they talk to someone. If they're here today and they're still wrestling with who you are as God. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together. Thank you that we can gather as a church family. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. In your name, amen. Please rise and join me in a benediction. We're at 2 John 3.